The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Australia's Weather Bureau has warned that an El Nino weather pattern has formed in the tropical Pacific that could intensify and become one of the strongest El Ninos in 7 decades. But what will this mean? Joining us now to discuss is Oisin Coughlan, policy advisor to the Environmental Pillar. Good evening to you, Oisin. Just briefly remind listeners what El Nino is.
Sure. So El Nino itself is a natural phenomenon, as it's not directly linked to climate change, but they interact, obviously. And basically, it's a cyclical thing that happens every few years. You can't precisely predict it, but it's more or less cyclical. And it's basically a warming of sea surface temperatures in the central and eastern Pacific. And it leads to things like less rainfall in Australia and in winter and spring. That's now basically in Australia. And it changes the weather patterns in South America and in Australia, and also affects things around the world as a result.
Okay, and it is a warm wind, is my understanding, and off the back of existing issues with climate change, where we are that little bit warmer than we were before, 1.5 degrees. That means that we are going to be significantly warmer if this El Nino gathers the kind of pace that they're talking about, doesn't it?
So that's the critical issue here for the rest of us, so to speak, or for all of us, is that all of these phenomena, like all our weather, now takes place in a climatic system, a climate energy system, basically, that has 1.5 degrees more energy in it, as in higher temperatures, global heating, than was the case 100 years ago. And that just makes everything, first of all, slightly more, can make it more chaotic and less predictable. But even when the cycles are still the same, it makes the extremes worse. So it makes the impacts worse. So we're having a strong El Nino, because El Ninos themselves vary in strength, but we're having it in a warmer world. And it just means, like, the whole window basically is shifting to the right, to the stronger end, and right, have more intense rainfall. And in this case, winds and bushfires and droughts are the impact. And obviously, while it originates in the Southern Hemisphere, it can impact the weather across the world. And it's just an example of how our weather phenomena are becoming more dangerous because of climate change.
Yeah, so it obviously affects Australia, and we did see wildfires in Australia last year and droughts and indeed very high temperatures. So you'd be seeing, I suppose, more of the same of that. But it does affect Asia, Africa, Europe and the Americas as well. One of the things that has jumped out at me reading this, and I think many people will perk up their ears when they hear this, because of this rise in temperature, but it also can mean, in terms of Europe, a colder winter. Energy prices potentially, Oisin, am I right in thinking, could go through the roof, because people in Asia will need air conditioning because of this heat, and we'll need extra heat in the winter because of the cold, and therefore an already strained, I suppose, energy supply chain. We could be looking at huge hikes in energy prices, particularly for LNG, liquid natural gas.
Well, so there's some irony, isn't there, in that the thing that's causing this disruption to our climate system, the burning of fossil fuels, then becomes more necessary until we get off fossil fuels, and more expensive as a result of the weather phenomena that it's causing. Because we don't think very often these days yet, so far, about the need to use energy to cool down buildings. But of course, if you are living in Asia...
40 degree heat, I think, well, you might be thinking about cooling down, wouldn't you?
Actually, it's just, before we get onto the energy price, it's just worth thinking that part of the impacts of this now are also about outdoor working, because even this is happening in Southern Europe as well. When you get into temperatures of 40 degrees and up to 50 degrees in India and across Asia, it absolutely, like, it's not just you're outside the comfort zone, you're outside the healthy zone for outdoor work or for much activity, human activity at all. But of course, across lots of the world, a lot of people earn their livelihood or grow their crops outdoors. Yeah. And it's a real impact for basically livability on large parts of our planet. But coming back to the direct question you asked around energy prices, yes, the demands for energy will be increased by the interaction of El Nino with just seasonal weather. And until we get off fossil fuels, which is all the more urgent because if we've seen what happens after the US attack on Iran, there'll be more demand for those fossil fuels, and supply is constrained, or at least disrupted, or uncertain still, even with the peace deal in quotes between the US and Iran. So yeah, we could see we could see conflicting things, because it looks like oil prices are coming down a little bit on the hopes of a deal between Iran and the US. But the uncertainty and the supply challenges and the demand may, you know, there's no certainty of good prices, shall we say, coming into the winter.
No, I'm just reading, you know, about how much of the world could be affected by 40 degree heat, etc. You can see the difficulties that we are going to be faced into. Obviously, you, as an environmentalist, are very keen, I'm sure, ushing on renewables. But when I saw this and looked at the level of requirement we're going to have for both things like heating and indeed air conditioning, it struck me that do we not need to be moving globally towards additional use of things like nuclear, because renewables alone may not meet requirements simply to make places livable for people?
Well, I think the first thing is it's worth celebrating the really revolutionary progress that renewables are making. There was a recent electricity review report by a group called Ember for last year, and 75% of new global demand for electricity was met by new solar, and then 25% by new wind. So actually, renewables met all new demand. Like new renewables met all new electricity demand last year for the first time, and fossil fuel use actually declined for the first time in the current phase, like outside a recession. So that's really good news. And the solar technology in particular is just taking off because it's got so cheap and it's so efficient now, and because the technology is improving around the world. In Ireland, you don't have to be in Spain for solar to make a really big difference. And following solar, batteries are making a big difference. They're making a big difference actually in Australia as well. So that allows you to capture the solar energy during the day and use it during the night.
Sure.
So we have cheaper, it's by far the cheapest way to make electricity now that's ever existed is solar. And that's useful context before you get on to nuclear. So I'm not campaigning to close down nuclear in France where it exists. But if you're thinking about building new stuff, it's far, far, far cheaper in almost all parts of the world to build solar and wind than to start thinking about nuclear. And for lots of things, nuclear, like certainly in smaller markets like ours, nuclear is still a scale that's too awkward and complex. There's this talk of these new small modular reactors, but they aren't mainstream or are deployed commercially yet. Who knows in 20 years' time? But in 20 years' time, we in Ireland will have massive offshore wind. So for me, the proven technologies we have around wind, solar, and now batteries will be able to do much of the heavy lifting through the coming years. But look, at this point, I wouldn't be ruling anything out other than coal, oil and gas. We should keep looking at all technologies and see how they can help us.
Yeah, I think in the same way you said, and you're completely right, that there's an irony to the fact that we are becoming more dependent, you know, on LNG than we would like to be because of the effects of fossil fuels heating us up. Those effects are also probably making us hotter and maybe making some of the renewables more useful as well. But anyway, thank you very much for joining us on that El Nino phenomenon. That is Oisin Coughlan there, policy advisor to the environmental pillar. It's going to get warmer, Shane.
It is. It is going to get warmer. And the impact on us all is going to be really serious.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.